And all the people said, Amen. Thank you, Michelle. Please stand in freedom, in body or in spirit, as we worship today together. We came in all places and all peoples together here today. Some of us traveled across the ice, and others came piping the boats. Still others awaited rivers in the plain. We found a land blessed. Blessed on mountains and valleys, rivers and oceans, fertile waters, wonderful moors, and promising hills. Here a dream was born. A dream of hope for children. Your God. We have turned to nations and peoples who gave us birth. Send us our voices, send us the fearful, send us the oppressed. And so the dream continues. And so the dream of our continues. God, help us to do our work, and our Lord came in the truth. Amen.
Before the 4th of July, it is so good to be gathered together to worship in God's house in a land where we are free to do so.
And if you are visiting for the first time, we especially welcome you. If you are an alien visiting for the Alien Festival, we especially welcome you. And if you will grab the attendance pad and pass it down the row and fill it out in as much detail as you will and pass it back, so we can know those who are worshiping with us this morning.
Remember to find one of the prayer cards that's tucked into the pocket of the pew in front of you. If you have a prayer request, a concern, a praise, or a joy, jot that down and later you'll have an opportunity to bring that forward or to hand it to one of our ushers. But now let us continue our worship as we join together in our affirmation of faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried.
He ascended to the dead.
On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, you have made all peoples of the earth for your glory, to serve you in freedom and in peace. Give to the people of our country a zeal for justice, the strength for forbearance, that we may use our liberty in accordance with your gracious will. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Please be seated.
Join with us.
Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah.
God is marching on, marching on, marching on, marching on, marching on.
The Spirit is alive in Roswell, New Mexico, this wonderful 4th of July. Thank you, John and Michelle and choir. If you weren't in the mood for the 4th of July before now, now we are, I hope. So. This is the time in our service when we invite you to come forward and bring your prayer request. You may kneel at the altar if you wish. We have some joys and concerns. We are so proud and happy that we're going to be doing Vacation Bible School week after next. And so we hold up as a joy those who are going to make this happen, who have already worked hard in some cases and will work hard for that. We hold up our choir and our music department, our country, our church. We have so much to be joyful about this morning. We have some concerns as well for Caroline Loveless, for Sandy Correa's arm. Look like you're don't wave. Okay, that's okay. We keep Bob Pottle in your prayers. We keep our country and our government in our prayers. And will you remain seated as we sing together? This is my song. Lord, we depend so much on what you have promised us. We depend on you for our hope in a world which seems so intent on hopelessness. We're grateful for our many blessings and for the grace that you gave us before we even knew you, for the way that you keep on forgiving us, even though we don't deserve it. Help us to remember that you've also given us an obligation to help others, to model goodness and hope, and to be your witnesses in a troubled world. We especially thank you for the country that we live in, for a government designed with checks and balances, which we hope will work all together for the good of all. We pray for all of our leaders, for those who find themselves in positions of responsibility where they face overwhelming and important responsibilities. We pray for your grace and mercy among all of us, that we may believe in the ultimate goodness of our nation and lead us to support it with our prayers and with our confidence. We pray especially for those members of this congregation who have served in government or in military service or who otherwise have devoted their labor for the good of the rest of us. We ask you for your continued blessings on the United States. Through these, we ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Will the ushers come forward to receive our morning offering? And while they were coming, I will remind you that we have new office hours in the church. Now, this is primarily driven, to be very frank with you, by the fact that Kay Motto, our office manager, has, at her request, has cut back the number of hours that she wants to work. And so we kind of juggle things around, and it seemed like the right thing to do was just to modify the hours of the church. So the new church office hours are from 8 until 3 Monday through Thursday. The office will be closed on Friday. But if you've come by the office very much, you know that just almost everything that happens in the business office of the church happens between 8 and noon and then around 1 or 2 o'clock. So we don't think we are inconveniencing anyone. And also, these are not the pastor's hours or they really don't affect any other part of the church except for just the business office. So you can find Tina or I here most of the time. If you come by and you don't find us, at any time, just give us a call or call the church office and make an appointment. We are very, very accessible. The church office will be open tomorrow from 8 until 3, and we will be closed on Tuesday, which is the 4th. And lastly, let me just remind you that this is the time of year when our attendance is a little bit lower and our offering is quite a bit lower. So, and our electric bill kind of goes through the roof. So if you can just keep that in mind as you prayerfully make your offering today. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the world that we live in. We ask you to accept this offering and use it to the glory of your kingdom. Amen.
Thank you. America. God bless America.
The oceans white with foam.
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies, to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my home,
sweet home. God bless America, America, my home.
I invite you now to turn to your neighbor and pass the peace of Christ among you. Peace of the Christ. Martha, peace of the Lord be with you. John, thank you. Peace of the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Pray. Peace of the Lord be with you. Well, hello. Good morning.
As you return to your seats, I encourage you to remain standing as we hear the words from our gospel reading this morning from Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Jesus got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. And would you join me, please, in a word of prayer? Gracious God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be acceptable to you and of great value to your people, for it is in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, that I pray. Amen. On this Sunday of the year, when our thoughts are turned toward the birth of this nation and the many peoples who came from far-off lands to find a new start and a new beginning in a new, fresh land, I feel compelled to share once again one of the stories of my people, the Norwegian Americans. So Sven and Ole decided that they would go fishing. See, it's a fish story too. And rented a boat to go out into the lake and had a splendid day. Oh my goodness, they caught their limit before you know what was happening. And they were so excited. They came back in, and as they were coming back in to dock the boat, Ole turned to Sven and said, "Oh, yeah, sure, this was a real good day fishing. But how could we ever remember that spot where the fishing was so good?" And Sven said, "Oh, don't you worry about it, Ole. I made a big X on the side of the boat." And Ole said, "Oh, you're so stupid. What if you get a different boat next time?" It'll come to you. Just think for a minute. Why is it that the fish always seem to be biting in the very spot where I am not fishing? Have you ever noticed that? It's like the people over there, they're catching fish. And I can see them jumping out of the water over there, but if I go over and move over to the spot where the fishing seems good, then they start jumping out where I was before. I know the fishermen in the room are probably thinking it's not the fish, it's the person on the other end of the pole, but still. I think the disciples were probably equally frustrated after spending a fishless night out in their boats. Of course, I referred to them as disciples. At this moment in time, they're actually not quite disciples yet. According to the Gospel of Luke, this is Jesus' first encounter with Peter and James and John. It's kind of interesting how the story about the calling of the first disciples varies in the different Gospels. Here in Luke, Jesus gets into Peter's boat because he wants to be able to move out away from the crowds and create a little bit of distance so that when he speaks to them, everyone who's gathered together on the shore and up on the side of the hill can hear him. And it's not until after he's finished teaching that he turns to Peter and says, "Go ahead and put the nets down into the water." In the Gospels of Matthew and Mark, Jesus is walking along the sea, and he comes upon Peter working on his nets and Andrew, his friend. There's no mention of whether they caught fish or whether they hadn't been catching fish. They just come along and find them there on the shore. And then in John, it's a completely different story. In the Gospel of John, Simon Peter's brother is already a disciple of John the Baptist. And it's Peter's brother who comes and gets Peter and says, come, you have to meet this guy. And he brings Peter up to Jesus. But Jesus knows Peter's name before Peter even speaks. He already knows who he is. It's just fascinating how there's just little differences in these stories. Personally, I think I relate best to Luke's version, the one that we read this morning. Somehow I find it a little bit easier to imagine Peter jumping into this change of life after he has witnessed this miracle of thousands of fish. You know, all the fish were missing, but all of a sudden, man, there's a whole bunch of fish. And it makes sense to me, maybe even a little more sense than in the accounts with Matthew and John, where a stranger's walking along the beach and says, follow me, and the guys just jump up and say, yeah, sure. What do you think? What do you think? Would you drop everything to follow a stranger who you had just met? Or would it take a little bit of convincing, like what happened in our story? The fish are missing. Suddenly there's bazillions of fish. Yeah, here's a guy that I wouldn't mind learning more about. Another way maybe that we can think about it is by using the language of our plan of discipleship. Remember, we started talking about that last week? See, I see this story of the miraculous catch of fish as an example of Jesus leading his disciples into and through a process of discipleship, spiritual formation. He's guiding them through the means of grace. So when you think of it in those terms, consider for a moment what kind of grace these disciples are experiencing. Are they experiencing prevenient grace, or justifying grace, or sanctifying grace? And for all of you who are saying, that was a week ago, Tina, please, it's okay, let's review just a little bit. Last Sunday, I shared with you the basic skeleton of what is developing into our discipleship process here at First Church. This is founded on John Wesley's understanding of salvation through grace. And in that understanding, the vision for this church is to be a place where all of us, and a whole lot of people that we haven't even met yet, can experience God's prevenient and justifying and sanctifying grace, and then guide other people, new people, through this grace. Now, remember, we experience prevenient grace when we realize that God loves us, God loved us, before we even knew that God existed. And then we guide others toward prevenient grace by loving other people before they know that they're loved. We do this through reach ministries, like we've been doing with Messy Church. We experience justifying grace when we come to realize and recognize, oh, God does indeed love me. And not only that, I love God back. Justifying grace culminates in that moment when we accept Christ as our Savior and invite him to be at the center of our life. And we guide other people into justifying grace by creating connect ministries where people can grow in relationship with God and grow in relationship with one another. Is any of this ringing a bell? Sound vaguely familiar? We experience sanctifying grace for the rest of our lives as we continually grow closer to God and become more Christ-like. And then we guide other people into that sanctifying grace by creating form ministries where believers can deepen their faith and their understanding, learn more about God and Jesus, and send ministries where we provide opportunities for us to carry our faith out into the world. Okay, so with all this vast knowledge in your brains, let's look again at this story of Jesus calling his first disciples. Which kind of grace do you see in action here? Now, I would say in the Gospel of John, where Jesus calls Peter by name before Peter even knows who Jesus is, what kind of grace do you think that is? Prevenient grace. Ding, 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 ding. The Altos win the prize. God loves Peter before Peter even knows that God is there, God incarnate in Jesus Christ. In the Luke version, which we read this morning, did you catch that moment where Peter falls on his knees and says, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." He's essentially saying, "I'm just not worthy. I see now how distant I am from you." And yet, he so much wants to be closer to Jesus that he accepts his call right on the spot. "You bet, I will go and I will follow you." That's justifying grace. Peter's reached the justifying grace moment. He's had that aha. This is the God who loves me, and I want more of that. And of course, we who are familiar with the rest of the story, we all know that for the next 3 years, Jesus led all of those disciples through a continual process of sanctifying grace. They were learning, they were getting to know Jesus more closely. They were, for the rest of their lives, they continued to grow in their faith. That's sanctifying grace. That's exactly what that is about. Now, if you're sitting there thinking, what in the world does this have to do with the 4th of July? I would say, ladies and gentlemen, that this has everything to do with the 4th of July. Because we are celebrating the birth of a nation which was founded on the principles of people having freedom of religion, where all people can worship God in the way that is most important to them and most revealing and lively to them. And yet I fear that we have so taken for granted the freedoms that we have. We as a culture have so neglected the development of our faith that we are squandering the opportunity that God has given to us by allowing us to live and grow and learn in this country that we call America the Beautiful. We are quickly moving in the way that so many countries around the world have moved, in Europe, where churches stand empty. And the idea of going into a church is such a quaint idea, something from times gone by, but something that modern people no longer do. And it is up to you and I to continue to grow in our faith, to process through the discipleship process of the means of grace until we can share that with other people so that we do not lose the advantage that we have of living in a country where we can worship in freedom. If we want to keep that freedom, we must keep our faith alive and learn to share it with other people and grow within us and within them a hunger to retain this emphasis on freedom of religion and growing in faith. Yeah, this entire sermon is a follow-up on last Sunday, and we're going to talk about this stuff a whole lot more, because having a discipleship process means thinking about and understanding our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And the thing is, once we can identify and explain the means of grace, it becomes easier and easier for us to identify what God is doing in front of us right now. But we have to have the words. How many of us have experienced a moment where we've thought, "I'd like to kind of share my faith with this person, but I don't really know how to put it into words"? This is your vocabulary. We must learn how to put faith into words so that we can share our experience of Christ with other people, because that's the mission that Jesus gave to us. So let's practice. In a few moments, we're going to come and gather at the Lord's table to share communion. In a couple of days, we're going to celebrate the birth of this nation. A week from tomorrow is the beginning of our vacation Bible school. And in all of these events and in all of these activities that we're about to experience, we need to practice being aware of how God's grace is at work. Pay attention to what's happening around you. Where do you see prevenient grace? Where do you see justifying grace? Where do you see sanctifying grace? The more that we practice identifying the means of grace, the better we will be able to experience that grace in our own lives and share it in the lives of others. I know sometimes it seems like the fish are biting over there, way far away from where we are. And likewise, sometimes it may seem like God's at work someplace far away. But if we start to practice seeing God's work right in front of us, right where we are right now, we are going to realize that our nets are full to bursting with God's love and God's grace and God's abundance. Let us not squander the gift of grace that God has given us and the country that we have been allowed to live in and experience that grace. Let us identify God in all that happens. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to turn now to our hymn of communion as we prepare ourselves to receive the Lord's Supper.
Christ our Lord invites to this table all who love him and who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart.
We have failed to be an obedient church.
We have not done your will.
We have broken your law.
We have rebelled against your love.
We have not loved our neighbors.
And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love towards us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise to you, gracious God, for you have blessed us with freedom of religion, with a desire in our hearts to draw closer to you. You have blessed us with a church family in which to grow in faith, and you have blessed us with your Son, Jesus Christ. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Hosanna in the highest.
Those simple men so many years ago started out as fishermen, some of them, on the Sea of Galilee. And yet, as the years progressed, they came to know Jesus in an intimate and wonderful way, until they came to that night when Jesus shared the Last Supper with them. And during the eating of the meal, he took the bread. He gave thanks to God and broke the bread, saying, "Take and eat, for this is my body, which is broken to you." And likewise, after the meal, he took the cup. He gave thanks to God and offered it to all of his disciples, saying, "Take and drink, for this is my cup of the new covenant, which is poured out for you and for many for forgiveness of sins. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, do so in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's love for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died.
Christ has risen.
Christ
will come again. O gracious God, we ask that you would pour out your Holy Spirit upon all of us who are gathered here today and upon these elements of juice and bread. O God, let them be for us the body and blood of Jesus Christ, that we might be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. All honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forevermore. Amen. And let us join together in the words which Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done,
on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
As our communion servers come forward to prepare the elements, may I invite you to come today to the Lord's table. Remember that this table does not belong to this church or to this denomination, but it belongs to Jesus Christ. So all who are here today are invited, encouraged to come forward to receive the elements. You will receive a piece of bread. You will dip the bread into the grape juice and partake of it as you are returning to your seats. If you require a gluten-free alternative, please come to my station and let me know. I will have a gluten-free alternative available for you. But now let us continue preparing ourselves and come to receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Helper.
And we have been you.
Okay. go down. You go down there. Yeah, go down there.
Christ, which is broken for you.
Thank you, Jesus.
The body of Christ, which is broken for you.
Jesus Christ, given for you.
This is the body of Christ, which is broken for you.
The body of our Lord Jesus, given for you. Here, we can have two lines here. You guys go that way. Okay.
The
body of our Lord Jesus, given for you.
This is the body of Christ, which is broken for you.
The body of our Lord Jesus,
the body of Christ, which is broken for you. This is the body of Christ, which is broken for you. This is the body of Christ, which is broken for you. This is the body of Christ, which is broken for you.
The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given for you.
Sue, this is the body of Christ, which is broken for you.
The body of our Lord Jesus Christ.
This is the body of Christ, which is broken for you.
The body of our Lord Jesus, given for you.
This is the body of Christ, which is broken for you.
The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given for you.
The body of Christ, which is broken for you. This is the body of Christ, which is broken for you.
Jesus, given for you.
Luke, this little piece of tortilla means that Jesus loves you very, very much.
The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given for you.
This is the body of Christ, which is broken for you. Katie, the body of Christ, which is broken for you.
The body of our Lord Jesus, given for you.
This is the body of Christ, which is broken for you.
The body of our Lord, given for you.
The body of Christ, which is broken for you.
Jesus Christ, given for you.
This is the body of Christ, which is broken for you.
The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given for you.
This is the body of Christ, which is broken for
you. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given for you.
This is the body of Christ, which is broken for you.
The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given for you. The body of our Lord Jesus, given for you.
This is the body of Christ, which is broken for you. You may take one of the little wafers. Go ahead and eat that.
The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given for you.
Amen.
The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given for you. Well, the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given for you.
This is the body of Christ, which is broken for you. This is the body of Christ, which is broken for you. This is the body of Christ,
Jesus Christ, given for you.
This is the body of Christ, which is broken for you.
Glenn, the body of our Lord Jesus Christ.
This is the body of Christ, which is broken for you. This is the body of Christ, which is broken for you. Beth, this is the body of Christ, which is broken for you.
The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given for you.
Jesus, this is our Lord, shed for you.
The body of our Lord Jesus, given for you.
This is the body of Christ, which is broken for you.
Jesus,
the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given for you.
The body of Christ, which is broken for you.
All right, I think we can go back now.
Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me.
Certainly do that. Would you please? Yeah, that'd be great.
We're going to stir other servers. Barbara,
okay.
This is the body of Christ broken for you. Would you serve Barbara?
Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me.
The body of Christ, which is broken for you.
Okay.
Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me.
the body of Christ, which is broken for you.
Okay, you can go ahead and go back now.
Jesus said,
then I'm going to ask the two of you to serve us. The body of Christ, which is broken for you.
Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me.
The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given for you.
Shed for you.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Thank you.
Let us pray. Eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Grant that we may go into the world in the strength of your Spirit to give ourselves to others. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
As we join together in our closing hymn, I invite you to respond to the call that God has placed upon your heart today. If you would like to receive Christ as your Savior, come forward during the singing of our closing hymn, and we will walk you through that in a beautiful way. If you would like to place your membership with this church, I can tell you there is no greater family of faith to share your joy than this church right here. So again, come forward. We invite you during the singing of our closing hymn. Now let us stand and sing together.
Thank you.
Now receive this blessing and benediction. Go forth blessed by God as you carry your faith out to all who you encounter. And may God bless America in this week and always. Amen.